All right. You guys pray with me real quick as we get started. Father, we too, as Jesse has just saying this morning, we say that you are good. We praise you for that. We praise you that you are a God that cares for us and not only cares for us and hopes for our best, but you've made a way for our best. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of you, Father. Interceding on our behalf, God loves us and cares for us, and I will echo what Jesse has said. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing or what we will do, God, you care for us the same. You love us in spite of our sin, and not only that, but have made a way to blot out our sin completely. That is the message of the gospel. That is the good news. That is why we are here and gathered together as family this morning. Jesus, you are the bond that unites us. And so we pray in that name and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. One of my highlights of Christmas this year was hanging out with you guys last week. I want to tell you, it blessed my soul. It got me through the week, and as we celebrated the birth of Jesus, and we had talked about that in the weeks leading up, that honestly, last week was one of the highlights of that time of celebration. And it led me to a question, and you've heard Jesse say it and alluded to giving Barry credit for asking him. And in fact, I was there. I heard a little bit of that conversation Jesse was having. He did cry when he was asked the question of a certain arrangement, a certain meeting that had happened at a time Jesse needed it. And Barry asking the question, do you know how important you are to God? Now, I've seen Jesse use that question even to someone else that same week, and we've used that out here, and we've said that. And so thank you, Barry, for planting that question in our hearts and our minds. But I want to ask it again. You've heard it this morning. You've heard it posed in a song. But I want to ask you that this morning personally. Do you, not this group, not just a church that is gathered together, not somebody that you feel like, well, maybe they've got everything figured out and I don't, but do you personally know how important you are to God? If not, man, we've come out of a season that is this amazing time of celebration, this Christmas season, right? And we talked about it in the weeks leading up to Christmas, that really Christmas is all about our restoration, right? Jesus didn't need to pop on the scene for his existence. He's always existed, right? Remember the first beginning that we talked about in John 1, that he has always been, that he was with God and is God and will always be God. But that Christmas morning, that his birth was solely about your restoration. Bringing back Eden, bringing back that place where we had perfect fellowship, perfect union with God the Father before sin entered the picture. And Jesus was born. And we've said it here and we will say it again. In fact, if it's one of the only statements we can ever say, if we could only choose one, it would be the fact that we would stake our lives on that Jesus changes everything. Jesus absolutely disrupts this whole world and changes everything. Christmas morning was about your restoration. Personally, you, an invitation for your restoration. If Christmas wasn't enough to shout it, and man, that should have been, right? That we celebrate this birth of Jesus, that he came and he lived this perfect life and he died this sinner's death on a cross in mine and your place and he rose again. If that isn't enough to scream your importance, I mean to shout it from the top of the mountains. If that wasn't enough, I want you just to think back to last week. Those of you that are here, you saw the gathering together, the fellowship, the sharing of a meal like we do every week. But the gifts that were lined out, that people all across this city, all across this state, and even other states, that they gave, not just gave money to, but actually picked out gifts to give to someone in hopes that that restoration would scream, Jesus loves you and he cares for you and he has made a way. Man, if you haven't ever felt important, I want you to just stop and think how important you are to God this morning. It's all about your restoration. Well, coming out of Christmas, obviously that takes us to a new year, 2019. Think about that. 2019. By the way, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but think about it in this way. This will be, for the most of us, probably all of us that are here, unless there's some babies out there that maybe we know the gender of, maybe we don't, but if Pageants, maybe, I don't know the math on this, but I'm going to go on and venture to say that most of us out here, think about this. This will be the last time we ever encounter a year in its teens. 2019, we're getting into that last stage, right? I don't think we're going to be here for the next time that it gets into the teens, right? And so we enter this new year. We think about this time gathered together. And with it, you can't help but think of New Year's and think of a couple of things. Barry talked about this earlier. We're in the South. We didn't have pork this morning, but we had the other two. We had black-eyed peas and turnip greens, right? That's just normal, right? I mean, as normal as it can be in the South, man. If we get to be called normal in anything, it's pork and black-eyed peas and turnip greens. But with it also comes the idea of what? A New Year's resolution. Can I get a show of hands of anybody that at any point in your life you've ever made a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Most people have. I want you to listen to what the word resolution means. Listen to this. It means a firm decision to do or not do something. A firm decision. In other words, this is it, man. This is a firm decision. It means being resolute. That's kind of a nifty word, right? A fancy word. Here's what resolute means. Unwavering. It means that no matter what, right, I'm sticking to it, that this is resolute in my mind. No way am I going to waver for this. This is a firm decision that I'm making. I heard something so intriguing this week. Would you care to guess when most New Year's resolutions go to die? January the 12th. Is what most estimations say, that New Year's resolutions, really firm and unwavering. I'm resolute that this is going to be the year that this happens or this doesn't happen or I start doing this and I stop doing this. That, listen, we are so resolute, we are so firm, we are so unwavering that we can make it 12 days before I quit smoking again, before I don't drink too much, before I lose some weight, or before I eat better, or before I this or that, or before I whatever the situation is. You understand that we are so firm and so unwavering that this fresh start of a new year, that we can make it 12 days. And then things seem to coming back to normal. It leads me to ask the question, why is that the case? Why only 12 days? Not even 2 weeks. Well, I want to tell you, I think I've got a little insight this morning, because most of our resolutions are behavior modification. Most of them are, I'm simply just going to start doing this, or I'm going to stop doing this. And I just want to be honest this morning, most of the time, not saying all the time, sometimes we can be truly resolute, sometimes we can be firm and unwavering, but most of the time, in and of itself, just making a choice of saying, I'm just going to make better choices, I'm just going to be the better me, most of the time that doesn't work. Personally, I want to share with you a situation I've been in. In fact, I found that the most times that I feel used by God in a situation when I open His Word is when I'm simply just honest. When I don't try to sugarcoat it, I don't try to act like I've got things figured out. Because by the way, whether you've heard the rumor or not that pastors have it all figured out, that isn't the case here. I don't. And in fact, if you don't believe me, just hang with me a little while and you'll probably find out that you're closer to Jesus than I am. I don't have everything figured out. In fact, I want to be honest. Can I be real honest this morning? In the back, can I be honest? The title pastor sometimes freaks me out, because I know the stipulations. I know the things that people have on their mind of, like, he's got the answers. Other than Jesus, I don't know the answers any better than you. I just know that I try to run to Him and I try to live that life where I'm just embracing the idea that, yes, I am important to God. I'm important enough that He sent His Son for me. And man, that gets me through a whole lot of this life, and it would you too. But I want to be personal this morning and just kind of share with you what my New Year's resolution is. And I do pray it's something that I'm firm in. I do pray that it's something I'm resolute and I'm unwavering that I come to, and that this time next year, you can ask me, how was that resolution? And maybe, by the grace of God, I can give you an answer that's beyond 12 days and say, I'm still with it. I'm still sticking with it. But to do that, I've got to kind of tell you just some honest truth this morning. Over the last couple of months, I have been at times in a funk. I'll reach a time where it's questions that pop into my mind that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not qualified to do this or do that, or maybe even as a husband and father, I don't measure up. Maybe as at my work, I'm not the guy for this, or at this church, or any of these things. And these questions continue to pop in my mind. And I'm just going to lay this out, and I'm going to lay it on an altar in front of you here and just say this. That over the last few weeks, and by the help of a friend, Jesse was involved in this, I've laid that down at the altar of God and said, no more. No more questions, no more wondering, no more measuring up or figuring I got to make it to this standard or that standard. Man, it's so easy for that to creep back in. Can I tell you right now, without a doubt, and not having a big head or not standing here saying that I'm so good, but I want to tell you without a doubt that I am enough. I am good enough, and it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's all about that birth on Christmas morning. It is all about my restoration. I am restored by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so it brought together this big $10 church word that I want to give you this morning, but it's a word called consecration. Jesse and I have talked about this a lot. We've read things on it. We've listened to things on it. And basically, in simple terms, it's a giving back to God. Can I tell you, over the last few weeks, maybe even going into a month, that when those doubts come, I have been busy in situations. And it's not a moment where I can just sit back and have this lengthy, long, amazing prayer to God. In fact, I want to tell you the one word that I've said. Remember, consecration is this giving back to Jesus. I have been in moments over the last few weeks where I have stopped and I have said to God, consecrate. One word. I don't even address Him as Father in that moment. I don't address Him as Lord. I don't say, if I can come up with a three-step plan, everything. Consecrate. When the doubts creep in, when the bills come in, when the situation or stress arises, just a moment where I say, consecrate. It is a resolute thing in my mind to, I am not going to carry this on my own anymore. Giving it back to you, Jesus. Consecrate. Consecrate. Just one word, and I can't tell you what the one word has done. I cannot put into words this morning what the ability, the awesomeness that it feels to go to the Holy Father, the one that supplies everything, and just to say one word and to feel the feeling of relief, the stress that is gone, just to say, take it. Take it. This thought right now that I'm not good enough, consecrate. This thought that I'm not a good husband or father, consecrate. This thought that I can't do this or can't do that, consecrate. This thought that I'm so overwhelmed by a thought of having to have all my stuff together, consecrate. I'm giving it back. Now, how in the world can you do that in a world where we're honestly faced with so much turmoil, so much things that are placed in front of us, and we can't see or touch or smell or any of these things with a God that we just have to have faith in exists? We have to have faith that our restoration is truly on the forefront of the Father's mind, and we have to come and we have to say, I'm giving this back to you. How in the world can we ever get to a place like that? I want to share with you in Scripture this morning the life-changing words of Jesus Christ. That's a great place to start. In fact, if I told you right now that you could have access to the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that's ever preached, and it were words of life, not death, not words of a curse, not words of accusation, but words of true, abundant life available, wouldn't you love to have a transcript? And you do. It's in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. The greatest preacher, the greatest man that has ever lived, the one who Jesse talked about last week, started this utmost rebellion and never raised a sword, but he did so with love and grace and compassion and mercy. And many, if you look through the Sermon on the Mount, hearing, you have heard it said, maybe you've lived this way, you have lived this way, but I tell you, and going to the heart of the matter. And as he does so in a word of consecrate, as it just is still on my heart and still on my brain, I can't help but think of a new year and a new start, that if everyone out here was able just to gather just a little bit that is in this passage, just a little bit of laying down whatever it is. See, you may come in this morning with an entire different set of circumstances. Can I be really honest? The enemy wants to paint it and say your circumstances are different than his, so it doesn't, the circumstances don't matter when it gets to this passage. It doesn't matter if you're living in the penthouse or the outhouse. It doesn't matter if you've yet to know him or you're going to meet him today. It doesn't matter if we listen to this and we come to this idea of I'm giving it all back to you, Jesus. In 2019 and beyond, for the rest of my life, beyond 12 days, I'm giving it back. Here's what Jesus says on these words. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, Jesus speaking to a crowd, like Jesse said, that were in need. Jesus speaking to a crowd that was on the fringes. Jesus speaking to a crowd that were following him out to listen to this sermon on a mountainside. And I can honestly picture several thousand sitting and listening. And in fact, historians say that as the message is being taught, that a little group would leave over here, and a little group would leave over here, because it wasn't the status quo. It wasn't something that they wanted to hear. And as Jesus continues, here's what he says in verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Right here, I just want to stop and say that word anxious, a stress or a pondering or a worrying or any of these things, if I could just stop right there and say the words of Jesus say, do not be anxious, do not worry, do not stress about anything. So many of us right now need to stop and say the word consecrate. Because I worry about every single detail of my life. I worry where my next meal's coming from. I worry about my shelter. I worry about my family. I worry about my friends. I worry about how I'm going to make it till tomorrow. Do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Again, I want to ask you the question, do you know how important you are to God? Verse 27, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Thinking of that, how many of us can stress enough that we can add 1 hour of life? In fact, I would think statistics show the more we stress, the hours we take away of our life. Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He's saying even kings are not dressed like the flowers of the field. Yet I tell you, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Listen to this. Before you even ask, he knows what you need. He created you. In fact, Psalm 139 says that he created you in such a way that he intricately wove you together. He knows every single detail of you more than you know about yourself. He knows you and loves you and has offered restoration just like you are. He knows what you need. But the advice Jesus gives is this: but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Just a couple of things about this passage. Do not stress about your life. Man, that is so easy to read, so easy to say, but man, that is hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to face, especially when we're in dire situations or we feel like we're at the end of our rope and we feel like, man, there is no way out of this. There is no hope in this situation. The constant that is there is the turmoil in our mind. We think and we process and we stress and we worry and we figure all these things. Would you just like to stop right now where you're at? Everybody look this way, back in the back, even look at me. Would you like to be able to right now stop where you're at with the stressing and the worrying and not carry that weight with you anymore? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a second and plan this but feel led of the Holy Spirit to do it. If that's you, if you're nodding your head yes, if you're raising your hand and saying, I don't want to worry about this anymore, would you maybe say that one word prayer that I did and I'm doing and will continue? Consecrate. I'm giving this back to you, God. I'm giving this up. I'm laying this down as an offering. In other words, it's not something I'm going to lay down and pick up when nobody else is looking. I'm giving this back to you right now. Consecrate. Consecrate. This morning, as we think about that, you can look this way. As we consecrate, as we give this back, as we quit stressing you, as we lay this down. In other words, we take to heart the words of this passage and we say, I get it, God. The animals, the flowers, the grass, all of this stuff you take care of, and you love me so much more. You offered restoration. You offered redemption. You've offered all of these things. You care about me. You've got me. I don't have to worry. In fact, he continues on, what worrying does, can you add 1 hour to your life? In fact, what is worrying about tomorrow, he even says, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. It's saying there's nothing you can do to change what's coming. In fact, if we're honest, how many of us have ever worried about something and stressed and worried and stressed and worried, and it never even came to pass? He's got us. Day by day, he is caring for you. He loves you, and he will make a way. It doesn't mean that if you give your heart and life to Jesus, there will be no problems, but it does mean that the one that has come into the world has overcome the world. It's available. Just quit stressing, consecrate, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Does it make you feel comfortable to know that the Heavenly Father knows what you need? Can I just be real this morning? He knows what you need better than you know what you need. Because there are some prayers, man, as the great theologian Garth Brooks once said, I thank God for unanswered prayers. Right? I don't believe there's unanswered prayers, but I'm sure glad that he didn't answer some of the prayers I prayed the way I prayed them. He knows what you need. In fact, before you even ask. He knows what you need better than you know. So if we trust in that, if we truly lay down and consecrate, if we truly say, I'm giving this back to you because you will take care of me. You know what I need. We can worship in that. We can trust in that. We can live in that. How do we do that? When worry and stress comes and we come to that point where we say consecrate, that we get to verse 33, that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if we would just do that, it says that if you would seek first, if you'll seek Him, if you'll come to Him, if you'll quit worrying and lay the stress down and come to Him this new year and say, nope, I'm giving it to you. I'm seeking what you want for me. Everything that you want is all I desire. You are it. I want you. I want your righteousness. I don't care what that brings. I want you. Then it says everything else will be added to you. Now, I cannot stand here and say that that means a Lamborghini is going to be parked in your parking spot or a yacht or a hotel or a mansion or any of those things. That's not what that's saying. But he's saying if your mindset, if you'll flip the switch and say, I'm not going to put it all on me. By the way, it has nothing to do with you. Nothing is all on you. The enemy has told you that. The enemy has told me that nothing depends on me. If I seek Him first, everything else will be taken care of. Is that not just stress-free living, just to lay it down and say, that's it. I'm going to seek you first in your righteousness, and I'm going to trust you with the rest that you know what I need. Man, there are few places in this world that I love to visit. I love to go to the beach. I love to go to the mountains. I love to just be simply alone in the woods or a lake or any of those things. Now, I want to tell you, I want everybody to listen just to a simple thing. This morning, you can say, man, that just seems so far out there. I don't know if I can do that. I don't understand. Can I just tell you this morning, I know that there are beautiful beaches all across this world. I know they exist. I've seen some of them in person. I've seen some in pictures. But if I was to leave tonight, if I was to get in my truck and say, you know what, I'm going to see that beach in person tonight. I know it's out there. I know the distance. I could read a map. I could take advice of people of the best way to go. But those headlights are only going to let me see so far, right? I'll tell you, that's life, man. That is life. You say right now, I just can't, it's too far. Brother, sister, listen to me. All you've got to do is see just out in front of you that one step to seek Him first. And one day, I can't tell you when it'll be, but one day you'll reach that destination where you'll say, that's what that bald-headed man was talking about. Here it is. And even a better promise, we talk about it all the time, that one day He's making all things new. Every loss that we've had, that it will be made right, that there is a greater restoration even coming. Will you pray with me this morning? This morning, if you're here and you say, man, this sounds like foreign language to me, I don't understand. It may just simply be because you haven't entered a relationship with Jesus yet. That it's all just been about religion, or you hear the name Jesus and there's nothing personal there. You're seeking first the kingdom of God may simply be this morning. I believe in the restoration. I believe that Christmas was about my restoration. I believe that Jesus was born in human form to die in my place, to raise from the dead, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to intercede on my behalf, and to offer restoration. Your first step may simply be, I believe. I confess my sins. I believe. I trust in you, Jesus, to save me. I seek you first today. For the first time in my life, I stop seeking this world and I seek you. That's where you need to start. For those who have done that and those who have maybe faded away from that and you're caught up in trying to figure out the next day, man, where am I going to stay? Where am I going to live? How am I going to get a job? How am I going to provide? Seek first the kingdom to stop right where you're at, to lay the stress, to lay the worry, to lay the expectations, to lay everything down and say, consecrate, take it back, God. I want to seek you first right now. I want to seek you first. If you've been walking with Him every day, today may be the day. Say, oh, I get it. Something. Holy Spirit, I hear you. I'm going to seek more of you. I need more of you. You need to increase. I need to decrease. I need you. Whatever the sense is, I have a feeling I'm speaking to a crowd that can understand wherever we're at in that journey. If we've yet to meet Him, we've been walking 50 years. There are areas in our life we need to lay down on the altar today and say, take it back. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to carry the worry. I don't want to carry the stress. I don't want to be anxious, Jesus, about anything. I give it to you. It's going to take courage, but I'm going to ask you to do something bold this morning. You bow your heads and you close your eyes. I want you to just envision an audience with a loving Heavenly Father. And whatever that stress is packaged in your life, I want you to wrap it up in a box, very nice and neat. Whatever that worry is, whatever that stress, whatever the anticipation, whatever the measuring up you feel like you need to do, whatever BS you've brought with you this morning, you know what I'm talking about. It's there in your heart. It's there in your life. It's ever present. I want you to picture yourself putting it, wrapping it up in this box. And I want you to picture yourself laying it down to the Father and saying, would you take this? Would you take this for me? Will you let me consecrate this? Will you let me give this back to you and be done with it? I'm telling you, He'll take it. I'm living proof. He'll take it. Consecrate. Take the stress. Take the worry. I don't want it anymore. If for you it's easier to envision your backpack and it's full of that stress, lay it down. Don't pick it back up. Give it to Him as an offering. That's worship. That is saying, Father, You've got me. I don't have to do this on my own anymore. You've got me. Listen, no matter what words of curse or rejection have been spoken over you, there is restoration available through Jesus Christ and a relationship with the Father through Him. Lay it down today. Don't pick it back up. Don't come back to it. 2019 could be the year that changes everything because you've met Jesus, who changes everything. I want to pray God's blessing over you. If that's struck a chord and you need to speak with somebody further, you seek me, you seek somebody out that'll talk with you. We'll be glad to, man. We'll love you. We'll pray with you. Let's lay it down. Man, let's pray together that 2019 brings a year for not only you like that, but our body as well. It continues just to do great things out here. We love you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that is Jesus. We thank you for the restoration that is possible. We thank you for Christmas. Guys, we still are just in that spirit. We celebrate the birth of Jesus and everything that that brought, everything that that made possible. Bringing back the days to where God, your creation, your children walked with you and talked with you and had a personal relationship made possible through faith in Jesus now, God. That, and then even one day still, even better than that, that you're setting all things right, that we will be in that perfect fellowship again and that sin will be defeated. The enemy will be defeated. There will be no more temptation. We will be full and whole and complete. For now, we long for a small taste of that. And in that, we seek you first. We lay down any of the stress. We lay down any of the worry. We lay down the idea that we're not good enough. We lay down any idea of us not measuring up. We lay it down in worship today and say, we praise you. And we believe that, Father, you have us. We choose this morning to seek you first. If it's the first time we've ever said it, thank you, God, for salvation that has come. If we've been walking in it for years and we have said today, Holy Spirit, you've spoken of this, I need to lay down. We praise you with that offering. If it's any other thing, Father, this morning, we say we as a group and as individuals seek you first. We believe you've got us. We love you. We thank you. God, thank you for making a way. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for Jesus. I pray a blessed 2019 for everyone in the sound of my voice this morning. That doesn't mean with possessions or this or that or anything that can be filled in other than that we as a people seek you first, that we are a light to this city. We are a light to this state, to this country, to this world of what you're doing out here through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you. And we praise you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for